The following audio message is from Neighborhood Church in Overland Park, Kansas. At Neighborhood Church, we seek to be a community that loves God and our neighbors together. If you would like to learn more about Neighborhood Church, please go to www.neighborhoodchurchop.com.
All right. I'm Brian, if you don't know me. I am one of the elders here, and I am going to be preaching today. So the week after Dave's birthday, we decided to actually, you know, give him the day off. His birthday, he actually has to work. So, you know, we're really, really good about that, timing-wise. All right. Sorry, now I am getting over a cold, and I was singing up there, so my voice may be a little raspy. I may cough a few times. I apologize. Looking out, and it's Wednesday, as you know, is Valentine's Day, so I can only presume that's why everybody out there is wearing red. So I appreciate you guys looking forward to that holiday. With Valentine's coming up, I thought I'd start off by sharing a little bit of a love story today. So I met my wife just after graduating high school. She was going to a different church. But her grandparents were going to my church, and they went to a Bible study at my parents' house. And Jenny, being the person that she is, decided to go to Bible study with her grandparents, which is part of why I love her. Because not many people can say we met at a Bible study at my parents' house, because she just decided to show up. The church that Jenny was going to, though, had a couple that was living over in China, and they were specifically working with the college students, but they found a orphanage that was over there where the living conditions for the kids was terrible. The kids were dying. The worker-to-kid ratio was terrible. And the missionary couple said, hey, if there's anybody that we know in the United States or that can come over and help out at this orphanage and basically just hold babies, feed babies, love on babies, we will find you a place to stay, and you can do that. So, which is why, you know, shortly after I started dating Jenny, she left to go to China for 3 months to work in an orphanage. At that time, email was just becoming a thing, but thankfully it was a thing. So with my brand new Hotmail account, I texted back and forth with Jenny. I don't really remember what the things I said. I'm sure it was pretty boring and not really worthwhile. But I remember some of the things that Jenny texted or emailed back was just about the day-to-day life in the orphanage. And I remember her talking about the kids coming in, and some of them had profound special needs. And I remember her telling about, oh man, I'm already gonna start crying. I remember her telling about some of the kids dying. And I remember so some of the things they would do, though, they would name the babies in alphabetical orders. They would come into the orphanage, so there'd be an A name and a B name and a, you know, so forth. I remember that through the work of the missionary couple there, though, that there was a whole generation of kids that came into that orphanage that ended up getting adopted out. I remember that one of the kids that had a G name ended up getting adopted into, man, this is going to be hard. I thought I was going to be good. Ended up getting adopted into Jenny's family. When Jenny got back, she said, Brian, if this relationship is going to go anywhere, at some point we are going to adopt. I was like, okay. So because of this missionary couple, we ended up adopting two. And then her sister adopted, her parents adopted. I ended up having cousins that ended up adopting. Her aunt and uncle ended up adopting. She had cousins that adopted. So all in all, through this event that occurred, I think, added a total of 15 members to our family through adoption on both sides of the family. So adoption is a special thing to me. I have a very fond place for it in my heart. And it's something I actually love about our church. We actually have a lot of people that are adopted in this congregation or have known people or have worked with that. And that's part of why I asked today to preach on Romans 8, chapters, verses 12, oh, thank you, 12 through 17. Yeah, I may need that. So the words should be on the screen, but let's read Romans 8 real quick. Now, Paul's been talking about the struggle between our sinful nature, which is now dead with Christ, and the spirit that he's given to us. Starting in verse 12, it says, so then, brothers, We are debtors not to flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, and in order that we may also be glorified with him. So you have received the spirit of adoption. So I guess I was a little wrong when I said that 15 members have been added to our family, because anyone in my family that has believed in Jesus has been adopted. So the number is actually a lot bigger than 15, which I is awesome. During adoption, there's a point where they call matching. It's a point where they say, hey, this is a child that is out there. Would you consider adopting them? And you, for us, we just said yes, because, yeah, I mean, you can't say no. I mean, at least we couldn't. But there's something special that happens. Now, all the paperwork's not done, all the legal stuff's not done, but there's a point where in your hearts, in our case, it was across countries and across oceans and across language barriers and across cultures, we reached out to this child that was, or children that were elsewhere, and we said, you are my child. And that was that. They are then my child. You know, the paperwork still had to be done. The legal stuff had to happen. But it's not because of anything that they had done either, but it's just all because of that response that we had. Now, here's the thing. God did the same thing with you. He looked at you and said, become my child, not because of anything that you have done, because you couldn't earn this on your own. And become my child, not because of how perfect you are, because you owe a debt that you can never pay. The debt that you owe because of things that you've done that go against God has been paid for Jesus dying on the cross. And he sent Jesus to die in your place so that you could become his child. And if you've never accepted that, I would love to talk to you about that. Because as much as I love physical and worldly adoptions, adoption into Jesus' family is so much greater. This last weekend, we had colds, so we weren't able to go, but there's a conference that occurs here in Kansas City called RE. I can never figure out how to pronounce it, but it stands for Real Encouragement. It's a conference specifically designed for adoptive parents or foster care parents. So you go there, and it's a bunch, you know, 300, 400 people who all have adopted kids, which sounds cool. There's a lot of parenting advice. There's also lots of fun things like massages and giveaways and, you know, good worship music and just all that. But a lot of it is centered around the fact that a lot of the kids that have been adopted, or many kids that have been adopted, have trauma in their life from the adoptive process. Normally if I'm walking up to somebody and I tell them, hey, I've adopted, they're like, oh, that's great. I'm like, yes, it is. And we don't really go much beyond that. But there's a key thing to adoption that I don't ever really talk or don't usually talk about. And that is that in order for adoption to occur, something has had to go very wrong. The way things should work is that parents have a child and they raise that child. But for whatever reason, in the adoptive process, that relationship between parents and child has been broken. Now, sometimes it's because of the parents. Sometimes it's because of things that are out of control. And sometimes there's good reasons for it, and sometimes there's not as good reasons. There can be a lot of things that kind of lead into that. But for whatever reason, the natural bonding between parents and their child is interrupted. And that care of that child is given to somebody else. Sometimes it's a family member or someone else. Sometimes it's strangers from another culture, and which in our case, I love. I'm going to do a little experiment. This is something that helped me. This is something I learned at one of those conferences. If you've not been adopted, if you've been adopted, you don't really need to go through this. But if you have not been adopted, I want you to just close your eyes real quick. And I want you to think back to the earliest memory that you have, or perhaps the earliest memory that somebody has told you about in your life. So when you were as young as possible. And I want you to think of yourself in that time And think that somebody comes into your life at that point and takes you away, and you go from there to somewhere else, and you're going with this stranger to some other place. And they may look different, and they may talk different. And when you're there, they may pass you off to another person, another stranger that you don't know. And you wait there, and you're thinking, when will my parents come and get me? But they don't come. And you spend time there, and there may be other kids, and they may be crying, and they may not. And you keep waiting for, when will my parents come? Eventually, some other people come, and they pick you up, and they take you from there, and you go to another place. And you spend time there, and you wonder, when will my parents come, or what's going on? And these people may say, hey, this is where you're going to live now. Sometimes that may not work out, and another stranger may come, and they may take you yet to another place, and sometimes to another place, and to another place. Open your eyes. Hopefully this gives you kind of an idea of some of what an adoptive child has gone through. There is a trauma that occurs in the past where all the relationships that an adoptive child has known has been removed. There's a point where the person that they should have been will never be, because the relationships that they should have grown up with have been broken and altered and changed. There's also issues in dealing with a new family. When you're thinking about it, like, you're going into the situation and you don't know these people. They're strangers to you. In the adoptive world, we call this attachment. And we talk about how well attached is the child to you. Sometimes the attachment is as normal as any other family. But sometimes there's no attachment. Sometimes there's no emotional bond or connection between the child and the parent. Sometimes they attach too easily, and they will go up to almost every single stranger and think of them as a parental figure. Sometimes there's what's called reactive attachment disorder, where a child bonds with their parents, but they bond negative emotions, so that every time they see that parent, all they see is anger or fear or rage. And every time they interact with that parent, that's what they'll experience. And Paul says that you have received the spirit of adoption. And just like earthly adoptions, your spiritual adoption only occurs because something has gone wrong. Up till now, Paul says that we have this problem, sin, that's the rejection of the relationship that we should have had with God. That relationship was broken. The you who should have been never will be. Because of sin, there's this wedge, this division between that perfect relationship that we could have had here on earth with God. And it can't happen now. And when we were born, we had no choice in the matter. We were torn away from the possibility of having that relationship. Our only option was to live in sin. And the penalty, or the wages, as Paul says, of sin is death. Now, God gave the law, the guidelines, which we could try and recover the relationship, but our flesh, our humanity is weak, and no matter how many times we try, we continue to fail to meet the law. But God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die in our place, and it's only by faith in Jesus that we can be justified or be made right with God. And that faith in what Jesus has done results in the spiritual death of the person that we used to be. So let's look back at verse 12. So then, Paul says in chapter 8, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So this is our first point. You have freedom from your past. After all the buildup in Romans to our adoption as God's children, Paul pauses for a moment to remind us that we are no longer living in the flesh. And the life of trauma, the life of being separated from God, is no longer a thing. But just like an adopted child, sometimes that's not something that we just be like, oh, it's in the past, we're all said and done with, we're just over with that. Paul says that's even, you know, in chapter 7, like Dave mentioned, that's something that Paul continued to struggle with. He continued to struggle with that old self, still having hold over his life. Perhaps you're struggling with your sense of worth, your sense of who you are with God, or perhaps you feel a sense of shame over the things that you've done or the things that you continue to do. Paul says it's no longer has to be. We're no longer debtors to the old self, to the old way of thinking. By trusting Christ, the person weighed down by sin has been killed alongside Christ, and that person no longer lives, but Christ is now living in you. God values you enough that he would send his son to die for you. You have worth. Are you experiencing shame over what you have done or continue to do? 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. In Christ, you are free. Are you unsure of who you are? You are a child of God. Your identity is in Christ. God chose you, not because of anything that you said or did, but because he loves you and claimed you as his own. In Christ, you are free. Do you continue to sin? You've died to sin. It is now Christ living in you. Is there someone in your life that you are sinning against? Determine how God would have you act toward that person and sin no more. Are there things leading you to sin? Stay away from them. Are there influences in your life that are having more authority than Jesus? You're dead to those things because in Christ you are free. Paul says that we must be led by the Spirit. It is no longer you who live. You have no control in your life. It is when you try to take control that you sin. I can't tell you the number of times that I've had a child weeping about the past of adoption, the hurt in the past, the tears spent because of things that they had no control over. I would take it away if I could. I wish I could just get rid of that. But as much as I want to be a good father, God is so much better. God has paid for it all. God wants to take those burdens on himself, and he wants to heal those wounds. And he is calling you to give them to him. Praise God, our past is gone. Looking at 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And I want to spend a moment just looking at that word, Abba. It's the Aramaic word for father, which is interesting how they did it. I won't get into the geeky part of it. Most of the time in my household, I'm referred to as dad. That's just kind of the, hey, dad, let's do this, or hey, dad, let's do that. If one of my kids comes up to me and says, yes, father, or no, father, I know one of two things. One, something seriously wrong has gone on, or two, they really, really want something. It's one of those two things. But the use of Abba here in the Bible is not the yes, father, or no, father. It's more of the personal father. It's the familial father. It's the relational father. It's the close father in their, it's the close father. There's a term, one of the times we see it used, we only see it used three times in the Bible. Two is Paul using it in this kind of this term of us being adopted, where we cry out to God, Abba, Father. The only other time we see it in the Bible is where Jesus, on the night before he's about to pay for our debt, pay for our sin, he's in the garden, and he's like, God, Abba, Abba, Father. If there's anything that you can do to make this not happen, please let this not happen. This sounds terrible is what he's saying, but he's like, Dad, Daddy, Father, I love you so much. Please don't have this, but if this is what you want me to do, I'll do this. So we see this relational thing. I mentioned that one of the things that adoptees tend to struggle with is the attachment to their current family. And here in the Bible is our call, here in, with Paul saying, here's our call for us to cry out to God in whatever comes our way. Jesus did the same thing when he knew the sin of the world was going to be cast upon him. And in the same way, we can go to our Father. Not in the formal, I need something, or I want something, or I've done something wrong, but in a personal, in a way where God's like, I want to be your dad. How attached to God are you? Do you see him as your Abba Father, or do you try to do everything alone? Do you try to find other father figures, people or things who will not love you the way that God loves you? How much time do you spend with God? Are you the child who only talks to their parents when they need something, or do you communicate with him on a daily basis? Do you tell him the good things and the bad things? And do you go to him for comfort? Let God be your Abba, your close father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Adoptions have been around for a long time. As I was preparing for this, I kind of looked at, you know, what did adoptions look like in the Roman Empire? Seemed reasonable. Adoptions at that time were actually fairly prevalent, it turns out. But it wasn't just looking at, hey, somebody needs a parent and I'm going to be their parent. There was a lot of political nature to it. A lot of times they would say, I like this person has talent, this person has worth. And so what they would do is they would say, I want this person to be my heir. And so they would adopt that person, sometimes even weird disparities of ages, and they would introduce them into their family. In fact, several of the emperors, I was looking, there was a trend of five empires, and they're considered the good empires, emperors of Rome, were all adopted. And the reason was, is they were like, I want this person to be my next successor. I want this person to be my next successor. And they were looking at who would be best qualified to actually run the empire. And as a result, the adopted emperors actually managed the empire really well. And it wasn't until one of them decided to have their own kid be the emperor that it actually ended up being a bad thing. Unfortunately with my kids, I can't say, hey, you know, you're going to be emperor or anything like that. It would be pretty cool. But what's really cool, even more cool than that, is that what God is saying here is that if we are adopted as children, and it says, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So our third point is that you are an heir to God. Which kind of staggers the mind a little bit. Like, you know, as much as being a Roman emperor would be cool, like being a heir to God is like awesome. We see that we're heirs, not just of the good, but also the bad. We inherit the suffering that Jesus endured, but we also inherit the glory that he will have. In the book of Philippians, Paul says that we are citizens, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to even to subject all things to himself. So we can relax in that, knowing that God is our Father and that we have eternally a kingdom to inherit alongside Jesus. So in closing today, with it being Valentine's this week, I wanted to tell you a love story. But it's not about my wife or I. It's not about the kids that we've adopted. I love both those stories. It's not about the good and the bad that comes along with the adoption process, but it's about God and his love, sending Jesus to die for our sins, and God choosing you to be his child. One that is free of the slavery of sin, one who can call upon our close Heavenly Father. And this gives us a new life free from the old one, a life where we are adopted as God's children and become fellow heirs with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for what you have done. I want to, you took the wedge of sin that was driven between us and you pulled us through it. You pulled us around it so that we don't have to be separated from you for eternity. And I know we often fail you and we often seek parents otherwhere and other things. We look at the things of this world and we say, be my father, be my Abba. And I want to apologize for the times that we reject you. And I know we often get caught up in the past and the things that of this world that draw a wedge between us still. And we get caught up in the sin. And I just want to apologize for that as well. And just pray that we look to you as the Redeemer of our past, the Father of our present, and the kingdom that is to come with you. And just look forward to that glorious day with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brian, for sharing the Word of God with us. My name is Dave Parton. If you're visiting with us, the pastor here, and we're about to have communion together. I think we have opportunities like this to hear from the Word of God from a family who has not only able to stand here and tell a story about adoption, but to say, hey, I'm going to have a lifetime of children that I've chosen to give and serve. And thank you, Lord, for the way you've served your adopted children. Silas, of course, has got to be a part of this family dynamic, and of course their extended family. But I think what we've seen with their family is it's the way they serve all of us. And to hear the message of adoption from Brian was a gift for us. It was a gift for me today. And I hope you were blessed by that, because from day to day, that's the sermon, right? 25, 30 minutes telling us some stories about how he's processing the scriptures. And that's a very small part of what they said yes to adopt. And he didn't say this, but I want to encourage all of us. If you feel the Spirit of God tugging on your heart to be an adoptive parent, you have a church that's going to come beside you. Amen? We're going to come alongside you and help make that happen. So may that happen more and more often. And may, Kirsten, as you work with foster families and things of that nature, what a way to be a light is to serve widows and orphans in our community.